here he gives us a description of our great conqueror, our great Savior, our great and glorious Redeemer, the man Christ Jesus. In this ninth verse, he says, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly, his heart, is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." Then turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 1 says, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart from the other disciples, apart from everybody else, and was transfigured before them." What all is involved there? I don't know that anyone knows. The transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. His deity must have shined forth. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is the God-man, Christ Jesus. And he was transfigured. The manhood of Christ Jesus was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as the light. What a sight. What a sight. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, "It is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. Let's set up 3 little abodes here, 3 tents. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Then he spake. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. In that eighth verse it says, And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, up there in the fourth verse, when Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. Moses and Elias, Peter and James and John. It's good for us to be here with you. Now, he said that as if to imply that it was better to be with Moses and Elias than to be with Jesus only. Then it says they saw no man save Jesus only. They were afraid. And it says that Jesus gave them comfort. And their fears vanished. Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise. And be not afraid. Well, evidently they were afraid, or he would not have said, Arise and be not afraid. Now, something happened there, transpired. When Moses left and Elias left, they were afraid. Now, Moses could give them no comfort. He's gone. Elias could give them no comfort or speak any words of consolation. He's gone. But yet when Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid, their fears left them. Which leads me to say that all the comfort that any troubled heart wants, it can find in Jesus Christ. Go not to Moses. Go not to Elias. Go not to the old covenant. Go not to prophecy. But go to Jesus only. He can supply all of our needs. All of our needs are met in Christ Jesus, in Jesus only. Go straightway to Jesus only. He was all the Savior that they wanted. These three men, they all needed washing. And Jesus washed all three of them, Peter and James and John, as well as Moses and Elias. They all needed to be washed from their sin. They all needed to be kept and held on their way. But neither Moses nor Elias could wash them from their sin. Neither Moses nor Elias could keep them from returning to their sin. It was Jesus only. Only Jesus. Jesus only. But Jesus, only, He could cleanse them. And He did cleanse them. Peter said, He said, Thou dost not wash my feet. And our Lord told him, he said, only your feet need to be washed, Peter. He said, I've cleansed you. And Peter said, well, he said, wash me all over. He said, you don't need to be washed all over. He was cleansed. Our Lord cleansed old Peter as well as James and John. And he led them in the way. And all the Savior that they need, they could find in Jesus only. And all the Savior that we need, we can find in Jesus only. Now, in our day, the priests of Rome and their Anglican mimics offer us their services. Isn't that right? They offer us their services. Anglican, the Episcopalians, they mimic Rome and its priests. And they say, we offer you assistance, services. Come to us. Confess your sins to us. Tell us your trials, your troubles. But we don't want them. Jesus only. All of our needs are met in Him. It's Jesus only. The priests and all of these free willers, they offer their services. But we thank God. We have seen Jesus only. And if Moses is gone, and Elias is gone, and everyone else is gone, we have Jesus only. Huh? Remember I told you the story many times about the woman who was given her testimony in the Pentecostal church, some sort of a Pentecostal church. And she was telling the preacher what Jesus meant to her poor soul. And the preacher finally, in his questioning of her testimony, said to her, are you sure that Jesus is enough? Said to that woman, are you sure that Jesus is enough? And she said, He's enough if He's all you got. And Jesus only. That's what she was saying. He's enough if that's all you got. If you come with something in your hand, then Jesus is not enough. If you can add anything to what Jesus done, then Jesus is not enough. But if Jesus is all you got, well, He's more than enough. It's Jesus only. We don't need the priest over here in a little booth for us to sneak off over in there and confess unto him how bad we've been the past week. We've got Jesus only. We've got a high priest, a great and glorious high priest who lived and died and rose again and ever lives to make intercession for his people. There's one mediator between man and God, and it's the man Christ Jesus. It's Jesus only, Bob. Jesus only. Oh, listen. He's enough for our comfort. He's all we need. And to these disciples, He was to them after they left here on this Mount of Transfiguration. He was to them their master. Their master. You don't hear that word much anymore, do you? Master. We delight in having the some sort of characteristic about us that we have no master. We bow to no one. Well, they had but one master. No man can serve two masters. They had one master. And they submitted to him. He was their master. He was their captain. He's the one that saved their soul. He's the one that kept them saved. He was their all in all. It was Jesus only. Not Jesus and this or that or something else. It's not Jesus and speaking in tongues. It's not Jesus and doing the best you can. It's Jesus only. He's enough. They wanted none but Jesus. None but Jesus. None but Christ. That's all I want. I just want Him. I will not submit myself to any so-called representative of God upon the face of this earth. I will not bow to Him or submit myself to Him, Him or any other human leader, whether it be John Calvin, John Wesley, or whoever. Jesus only. Jesus only. Not Calvin or Whitfield or anybody else. Just Jesus only. All the power that you and I want, or all the power that you and I need to be a good witness, to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the power we need to bring men to the truth, we find in Jesus only. We don't find it nowhere else. We find it in Jesus only. But the Lord Jesus Christ be well understood as the everlasting God who bowed the heavens and came down and suffered the shame and the guilt that was due the sinner. Let that be understood, that He came down to redeem us from the wrath of God. Let that be understood. Let us get a sight, get a view of His thorn-crowned head. Let us get a view of His blessed, sweet face, bruised and battered by the religious men of His day. Let us see His tender heart, broken because of sin. And that will motivate us and satisfy us. Jesus only. Jesus only. Not Jesus plus something else. I get so tired of hearing people talk about Jesus. Jesus is a common name among society today. Everybody's talking about Jesus. But never talk about Jesus only. It's always Jesus and you. Me and Jesus. Not Jesus only. It's Jesus and what you do. Jesus and what you add to it. It's not Jesus only. If we ever get a sight of what He did, we'll certainly be satisfied with Jesus only. Huh? We won't need the aid of Moses. Moses can't help us. Elias can't help us. Only Jesus can help us. Because He's the one whom God sent. God authorized Him, commissioned Him, empowered Him, sent Him from the throne to make atonement for His people. And if we ever see Him, if we ever see Almighty God in Christ on the tree, suffering the shame and the guilt that's due us, all we'll need is Jesus only. Jesus only. You see, that's all the gospel that I got to preach, is Jesus only. I'm preaching the same gospel here at this place that was preached 2,000 years ago. Same gospel, no variations. Christ only. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. No other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved except the name of Jesus. Jesus only. No aid, no help from Elias or Moses. I find all of my needs met as a sinner in Jesus only. Took my place. My representative. Stood in my stead, my place, my room. My sins were laid on Him. Someone said, well, I like to see my sins. I have a desire to see my sins. That wouldn't help you much. But listen, I desire that you see your sins too. But I want you to see your sins laid on Jesus only. See, if you see your sins laid on Jesus only, you'll find that Jesus is enough. Okay? The only place, the only way that you can be reconciled to God that you and I have offended is to have our sins laid on the sacrifice, rolled on Him, all of our sins, yesterday and today and tomorrow, laid on Him. It's all the gospel we have to preach, and bless God, it's all the gospel that I want to preach. Is the gospel of Jesus only. Not Jesus and what you can do. If he cannot save us thoroughly and completely by what He done in our stead, in our place, in our room, if He cannot achieve and accomplish a full and complete salvation in Himself, then there is no salvation. The salvation that He purchased by His own blood demands that He have all the glory for it. All the glory and all the honor is tied up, shut up, bound up in Him and Him alone. He must have all the glory. And if you ever see your sins laid on Him, all your obnoxious, God-hating sins laid on Christ, if you see that by faith, then you'll give Him all the honor and all the glory. And you'll turn your back on what so-called merit or good work that your fallen nature can produce, and count them as but dung that you might win Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is the only ground of confidence that we have for ourselves, is Christ Jesus alone. Jesus only. Oh, I know that there are some here, even this evening, who are not yet believers in Jesus. And it's our desire, my desire, and the desire of this church, the desire of some of the mothers and the fathers and the grandfathers and grandmothers here this evening, it's their desire that this may happen to them so they can say, Jesus only is my Lord and my Savior. Oh, listen. You say you want it. Someone says, well, I like to see my sins. Well, no sight of your sins or anyone else's sins ever brings about any humility to the soul. Ah, but when the soul sees our sins laid on Him, sins laid on Him, covered Him with a bloody sweat. Sins laid on Him were so heavy. So heavy, the weight of the sin that was laid on Him. All the sin of all of God's people was laid on Him. And the weight of it was so great. He didn't falter. He didn't stumble. But it was heavy. And it squeezed Him and crushed Him down so that He said, my God, my God, God, why have You left Me? Now, if we ever see Him like that, we'll say, Jesus only is enough for my salvation. Listen. Well, you say, I want to feel my need of Christ more. Well, you'll see your need all the better if you look to Jesus only. You'll see your need. Your need as a sinner. You need perfection. You need a absolute perfection that comes as the result of perfect obedience to the law. You need that. God has commanded every man, every woman born into Adam's race that they obey His law perfectly. That's the command of God. It's not arbitrary. It is not if you will or try it or something of that nature. It is, that's what I demand. And if you cannot bring perfect obedience to Me, hell's your home. Now, if we can see Jesus only, we see Him as our law keeper and fulfiller, our obedience. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, when He came into this world, from the time He came in to the time that He left, there was no sin inwardly, no sin outwardly. He perfectly obeyed the whole law of God Himself in our stead and place and room. He did that for the poor sinner. What God demanded, Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, provided. What God demanded, Christ provided. And what God provides, He accepts. We're accepted in Him, Jesus only. Would God accept me, a poor sinner? Alienated from God because of my sins. How could God ever take me to His bosom as a child of His, as a son of God? Never in myself. It must be through a Savior. It must be through a substitute. My acceptance. And certainly I believe I am accepted by God. Because my acceptance is in Jesus only. How accepted is Jesus to God? This is my beloved Son, He said, in whom I am well pleased. That's how accepted Jesus is to God the Father. My acceptance is in Him, not in myself. It's in Him. My Savior. Quit trying to save yourself. God never sent you to be the Savior. He sent Christ, the only begotten of His bosom, to be the Savior. And He saves souls by Himself, Jesus only. He's our acceptance. He's our law keeper. He's our righteousness. Why, for a man to be accepted by God in himself, he must, from the cradle to the grave, never commit a single solitary sin. Not one sin in word or deed or thought. He must be perfect. Every time he takes a breath, it must be perfect. Every time he thinks a thought, it must be perfect. Every move he makes, it must be perfect. He must love God with all of his heart and all of his strength and all of his soul. He must love his neighbor as himself. If you're going to save yourself, this is what you've got to come up with. Perfection. A perfect righteousness before God. Oh, I'm trying to tell you this evening, it can only be found in Jesus only. You want your sins forgiven? Only way your sins can be forgiven is have your sins be laid on Him and the wrath of God against sin fall on the substitute. Fall on God's Christ, the Savior. He'll receive the punishment due your sins in Himself. Forgiveness, it's in Christ. It's in Jesus only. Only in Him. Nowhere else. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. Will He? Will He actually save His people from their sins? My God, He will. That's our confidence. It's in Christ. And Christ alone. I wish I could make it plainer. I know if you see your sin laid on Him, I know that if you see that, you'll wind up hating that sin. It was sin that bruised Him. It was sin laid on Him that caused Him to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God, because of our terrible, terrible, obnoxious sin being laid on Him, God couldn't look upon Him. God couldn't look upon sin. And He was made a mass of sin, and God turned His back on Him. And there He suffered. He suffered by Himself alone. The penalty that's due me. I ought to have suffered there. I ought to have been in hell 74 years ago. That's when I should have went to hell. I should have went to hell and suffered in flames and torment 74 years ago when I drew the first breath as I came from my mother's womb. I should have went to hell. I deserved to go to hell. But oh, the glorious, great God who loved us in eternity past sent Him. The only way that this sin question can be taken care of and eternally settled forever, God must come Himself in the person of His Son and stamp it out. Pay for it, lock, stock, and barrel. And our Lord said, whosoever believes in Me, not whosoever believes in Me plus your baptism, plus your good works, plus your propositions. It's whosoever believes in Me, the conquering
Savior is not condemned. It's Jesus only. Well, that's what they said. They saw no man. They saw no man save Jesus only. That's all. And that's all we need. That's all we need. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Oh, Father.